the way of the gospel. Call your attention to the book of Acts, 14th chapter. Acts 14. We will not read all of this text, but we'll be dealing with verses 15 through 27. But in the 15th verse, it said, "And saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like precious with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which makes heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own way. Nevertheless, he let not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, sacrifice or sacred, retained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." So we'll catch some of these other verses. But the work of the gospel, and they were here in the 15th, 16th, 17th verse here in Acts 14, he was talking to those, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." The term missionary or mission work, they are scriptural terms that grew out of a religious organization seeking out adepts on mission, whether social or religious. So how different the work of the gospel or the ministry is, the work whereunto the Spirit has set them apart. And I believe that is what is missing, get my words straight here, in our mission work today. And go back one chapter to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 2, "And they ministered in the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost separated me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." You see a word here in verse 2 that I've said on many in our nation. I've said on many a deacon that's been ordained, many a pastor has been ordained, and missionaries are going to be sent out. But I've had my first time to ever was asked to fast before we sent the man out. Some things, as we'll see, can only be done through prayer and fasting. Fasting basically is giving up food or water. Number one, giving up water. Number two is giving up food and water. And if you fast, this is brought in a lot of Baptists that I don't do it because the Catholics have Lent and the Catholics have this. Catholics is not a Christian religion, so we shouldn't even concern or about what they do or don't do. They're in a different situation. If you listen to the Pope now, the things that he has came out in just the last few months, you know that there's nothing Christian at all about the Catholics. And so I know some get upset, some don't, but, you know, that's just facts, you know. And if they stop and look at it, you know, that this, not going to preach, I haven't preached my Christmas message for years. I don't have much intention of preaching again this year. But, you know, that came out of the Catholic belief. When Constantine wanted to bring religion and government together, you know, around Christmas, everybody gets holy. Everybody gets religious. Everybody wants to love everybody, and it's a bunch of bull because it's not spiritual. It's not in the Word of God. No way, no place, no firm. But God does say that some works cannot be done except through fasting and praying. So how long do I fast? That determines with you. It determines what you're asking God for. It determines on your health. We don't ask people to fast. They've got to take pills each day so they can live. But if you're able to fast, and if you want, as I do, I fast, and I say it, but you think I'm bragging on myself, and I'm not. But I fast quite often for my children. Quite often for my children. Children who profess to be saved that are not in a sound church, there's something wrong. So I pray, and sometimes I fast. And my wife will ask me something, are you hungry? Not today. We fast for something that only God can do. And only God can save your children or mine. Only God can save our best friend. So I don't want you thinking, hey, I'm not as scriptural as the pastor is because he fasts and I don't. You may not be healthy enough, you know. You may have problems, you know. If you look at it and say, well, you have a heart problem, there's a lot of problems and cause you more problems than a heart problem. Get your heart problem under control. That is not as serious as maybe blood pressure that is not under control or a lot of things. But you look at that in your own judgment. But what I'm trying to get as I get into the message this afternoon is as they minister to the Lord. How do you minister to the Lord? You pray to Him. You talk to Him. They minister to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost that separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. But you know, and I hope you don't think I'm negative all this afternoon, but I've got 3 or 4 papers back in the office now where God wants me to go to this, and God wants me to go this, and God wants me to go that. No money, don't speak the language. I have a hard time with that, but God's going to send you somewhere you're going to be prepared. You're going to have a desire that I'll do whatever's necessary to go to that country. But right or wrong, I know if we're going to do it God's way, if we're going to send a missionary out, we ought to have at least the men, the deacons, the elders, to fast and pray before we ever send a man out to do God's work, because that's the way God says, do it. I'm not basing a belief upon a particular verse. But the work of the Lord's to do, and that He sets apart for the work, is by the choosing, sending, and sustaining. And we are but to pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth labors unto the harvest. You might say, Brother Tony, what's that got to do with me? Well, let's look at Matthew. Matthew the 9th chapter. Matthew the 9th chapter and the verse 38. God says here, Matthew 9, verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers unto His harvest. Calvary Baptist Temple, we got a need. We got a need that God would send forth laborers into the harvest. We listed in July about 5 different things we wanted to do. We list the importance of those things. One of those things is that we would pray that God would send us a young man, and we say young man, middle-aged man, don't make any difference what his age is, that would willingly come to this church, work with me till I left the work. You know why? That's good, because he would know how this church worked. He would know how we function. And he would add some things. He would change some things. But it wouldn't be overnight. So that the work go on for the glory of God. That ought to be one of our prayers. Amen. You know, who knows? I may disappoint all of you. I'll live all of you. But I may not. But we need someone prepared to take this work over. least it's worth praying about. Because I'm not the work. And it won't end when I end. Because it's God's work. So the work of the gospel. The work of the gospel is that God would say that we would pray. The Lord of the harvest. That He, God, would send forth laborers unto the harvest. And I want to quickly look at a few things. First of all, in our text, in Acts, the 14th chapter, as we look at this portion of Scripture, and we see how God works and leads in this work. So let's look at back in Acts 14. We see in verse 15, a saying serves, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which make heaven and earth and the sea and all the things there are in there. When the hearers of the word of God would exalt Paul and Barnabas, they deflected the glory to the Lord alone, knowing themselves to be sinners of like nature of those that would exalt them. That's exactly what has happened here in verse 15 when he said, and saying, sirs, why do ye do these things? We're also like men. I love the Lord. You love the Lord. If we have got the gospel in common, if we've got the word of God in common, why is this conflict? Why is this conflict? Why are we arguing among ourselves? The work of the gospel is to call sinners to the sovereign Christ and Lord. In verse 16, who in times past suffered all things to walk. Now notice here what God said. God told us here in Acts 14 chapter and verse 16. Who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Well, nations are the Lord's to do with what He will. Passing by some, turning others to Christ in faith. What is happening in the United States? Brother Harold and I talked about it so briefly as we were waiting for dinner. There's a party out there that's trying to destroy the United States. Take all the good so that we will have a socialist government. Everybody equal. Let me tell you something. You won't find that in the Word of God anywhere where everybody is supposed to have equally in finances. It's not going to happen. There's always been poor. There will always be poor. There's always been rich. And there will continue to be rich. This ideal, we ask ourselves. Paul and Silas was asking, don't we have common faith? I'm asking, and I believe my president is asking. If you disagree with that, that's fine. We'll still be friends. Are you a United States citizen? Do you believe in what the United States stands for? Do you believe in the Constitution? Do you believe in the Bill of Rights? Do you believe that we're all equal under God? That God don't look down upon me over Steve or Steve over me? What am I talking about? The work of the gospel is to call sinners to the sovereign Christ and Lord. God said, who in time past, in verse 16, suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. You may ask. Let's read it again. Who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. What did God do? He didn't do anything. He left them alone. The man who goes to hell today when he dies, what did God do? God just left him alone. Now, we would all agree that if we're going to go buy a vehicle this afternoon, we wouldn't have to ask anybody if we had the money to buy that vehicle. We buy the vehicle we want because we got the money to buy. God is God. He does what he wants to the way he wants to, and he has never asked anybody, can I do this? Amen. So everybody that goes to hell, God didn't send them to hell. God just didn't bother them. He left them alone. And isn't that the world wants? I don't know whether you have. I've had my kids tell me, just leave me alone, Dad. I'm not hurting nobody, Dad. Just leave me alone. And everybody that hears the gospel and rejects God is saying the same thing. God, leave me alone. And after a while, God will leave you alone. And when God leaves you alone, you destroy yourself. The work of the gospel is to declare the mercy of God for undeserving sinners. Verse 17 says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. I don't care how bad this world gets, Brother Harold, there's going to be a few. There's going to be a remnant that will stand up and say, thus said the Lord. May not be many, but there's going to be some. I want to be part of that remnant. I want to be part of that small group that, Lord, I'm on your side. He said, nevertheless, he left not himself a witness in that he died, he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and with gladness. Most of you may have been in a place that some of us have been. Don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to come next. But God promised he would never leave you. He'd never forsake you. You know why? You're his. You're his. You know. I've had my kids tell me, Dad, just don't bother with him. So leave me alone. So that means I stop praying for him, don't it? No, it means that I increase the prayers. And people who I believe can pray, I ask them to pray for them. Because the prayers of a righteous man avail much. Amen. The work of the gospel is to point sinners to one unique sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all the gospel is, people. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. Once that person is saved, Jesus, if that person leans unto Jesus, he will direct them to church. He'll direct them to scriptural baptism. He will direct them to live for him because he is an all-knowing, all-loving, and all-providing God. He said in verse 18, and with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. While these would have offered sacrifice to Paul and to Barnabas, they verily restrained them, knowing that only one sacrifice is acceptable to God, and that is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only one. That's the only one. We see in verse 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, we see something that is pretty amazing here. We see that in verse 19, there came thither certain Jews. Certain Jews. You know, when we say certain Jews, that means what we are saying here, that there are a group of people that will always be against the things of God. Works, religiousness will always oppose the message of grace in Christ Jesus. I want to share something with you that I found out in the 50 years or so I've been a child of the King. Those who believe they work for salvation take pride in what they do. God will not offer His blessings to no one. But to believe in salvation by grace through faith is simply that, hey, I did nothing. And you may say, but I chose Christ. No, you didn't. He chose you. If He had left you alone, you would still be lost, you would still be dead in sin, and you would still be satisfied the way you were. But how do we know that we're saved? We can go back to the hog pen, but the slop don't taste the same. It just doesn't taste the same. You don't get the same thrill and enjoyment that you once did, because Christ has brought you out, given you a reason for living. See, the work of the gospel will advance as God has purpose in spite of man's condition. We see verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to the beach. The work of the gospel will advance as God's purpose. I don't care what the opposition is. You know, the natural mind thinks that men may attempt to stop the message of Christ, but can they stay His hand? Can they say, why dost thou? You remember back in Daniel? When Daniel said, what dost thou? I believe it was Daniel 4, around verse 35, 36. You can check that out. But the work of the gospel will advance as God has purposed in spite of man's opposition. Almost every Baptist work in the mountains of Kentucky, and I preached a lot there when God first called me to preach. There was one conflict after another. But in those eastern mountains, there are churches. One of the churches Brother Steve knows a little about. Stephen Branch. You remember Stephen Branch, Brother Steve? Preached there. Loved the pastor that preached there. He struggled. He struggled financially. He struggled with his neighbors. He even struggled with people within the church. But he kept on keeping on. Because the work of the gospel will advance as God has purposed in spite of opposition. And God will bless me despite those who would want to stop me. Are you? The work of the gospel is not only the converting of sinners, but in confirming them to the grace of God. You know, we see in verse 21 and 22 of Acts 14. He said, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again unto Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. I mean, we ought to understand, if we do what God tells us to do, we're no different than Paul. We're no different than Barnabas. We're no different than John the Baptist. The closer we are to God, the more our enemies want to get rid of us, want to discourage us. So that's what he does. And he always brings up something that will discourage us. But God said the electing, redeeming, justifying, calling, and keeping are the Lord's. If you don't hear anything else, if me or you are saved, it's because God elected us. He elected us unto salvation. He redeemed us. That means he bought us out of the slave market. He justifies. Every time the devil today accuses me, accuses you, Jesus is our lawyer. He's our intercessor. He justified us. He called us. He's keeping. The keeping are in the Lord. I'm not saved because of me. I'm not kept saved because of me. It was God that saved me, and it's God that keeps me from falling every day. Glory to his name. The work of the gospel is in the raising up of congregations unto leadership of men appointed for the well-being of those congregations. He said in verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord or on whom they believed. I got four letters in my office asking for help for the next 2 years so they have enough money to go into the farm field. Can any of you remember a church that has started within 50 miles of us? Nobody wants to start work. You know the reason? Churches will support farm mission fields and they'll let Stephen Branch and all other churches like that starve to death. Why is that? Well, I believe that when a church starts a mission, and sometimes you do that and not everything works out. We try to start a work over to Carlisle. You was with us when we passed out some stuff over there. Passed out letters, and I've told the story once or more. And the people told me, two or three guys said, we don't care about you starting to work over here. But we're not coming. You know why they're not coming? There's not a church in Carlisle. There's some social clubs. Not one of them preaches the gospel. I talked to all of them. They don't preach the gospel. They got those that they want. Because there's no problem. You bring in new blood, you bring in possibility of problems. But how do you grow? How do you grow? Well, the work of the gospel is in the rising up of congregations under the leadership of men appointed for the well-being of those congregations. And that's what he's saying in verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord of whom they believed. I'll show you eight or nine places in the Bible where God started churches, and not a one of them was started without prayer and fasting. Why do we preach that? Well, nobody else preaches that, you know. Nobody preaches against pagan holidays. Nobody preaches on grass. Nobody's preaching on faithfulness. Everybody that's not going to answer to God. Because the churches may have changed, the people may have changed, but God has not. God has not. Elders and ministers, the Lord and overseers, under shepherds, you know. It's what God says. Let's look at one verse outside of our text here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:25. We're about ready to close here. In 2:25. Get out of 2 Peter, I'll be all right. 1 Peter 2:25. When God said, "For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." He's not talking about the Lord here. He is the bishop. He is the shepherd. But there's two words in the Word of God for pastors. There's pastors, there's bishops, there's elders. They're all the same person. Churches are falling away because there's not a bishop, a pastor, or an elder that will preach to God as it is to the people as they are. I mean, let's don't fool ourselves. The average member of any church does not study like they should. The average pastor doesn't study like they should. And without study, the understanding goes. Two more short points. The work of the gospel is following the Lord's directions as to where, when, and how he purposes. Back in our text here in Acts 14, verse 24. Notice here in 24, 25, and 26. You notice something in common here? That you get moving and moving and moving. In other words, we keep visiting and visiting and visiting. We keep giving and giving and giving. And we keep praying and praying. Wherever, however we want to do to God's work. He tells us that. And lastly, in verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. See, the work of the gospel always accomplishes what God purposed. I like that 27th verse. I really do. When they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed. You know, we could all go on vacation. We'd come back and we'd gather together and we rehearse what we'd done, what we'd seen, what took place, how we'd blessed. They used to have preachers' meetings once a week. Preachers go down for a prayer breakfast. That's one thing I said by Brother Ellis. At the prayer breakfast. Other people could come, but it was especially for a time of preachers. Get together and rehearse and share. Share their needs, share their blessings. You know why you do that? Because you believe in prayer. I will close at this statement. When I get home, I will text preachers that I think that will pray for my daughter. I believe almost all of them will put the name on the bulletin. That's different than praying. Now, I know who they are, but I believe that as I talk to people at these prayer breakfasts, or if I talk to people at these preachers' meetings, I know who are prayer warriors. Prayer warriors are concerned not only for their church and their family, but they're concerned for the world out there. You may think that I've gone way too far, but one of the people on my prayer list every day is President Donald Trump. I pray for that man. I believe with everything that's in me, God put him in there. Amen. And nothing or nobody will remove him until God said, I'm finished with you. But would you take what he's taken to hold an office? You ever read The Trail of Blood? You know what those preachers tough to be able to preach? Would we?